From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Atlantic senior editor Hannah Rosen says men are well on the way to losing their status as the dominant gender. Her new book is called The End of Men and the Rise of Women. Hannah Rosen is the co-founder of Double X, a women's site connected with the online magazine Slate. She's written for The Washington Post and The New Yorker and been a staff writer at The New Republic. According to Wikipedia, the character portrayed by actress Chloe Savini in the movie Shattered Glass about Stephen Glass, Rosen's colleague at New Republic, was loosely based on her. Hannah Rosen joins us from Slate magazine in Washington, D.C. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
Well, first, was Chloe Savini loosely based on you?
She was exactly based on me, actually. The loosely is the exaggeration. Yes, I was there, and Stephen Glass was one of my good friends. And I actually went to the filming one day. It was quite fun.
I bet. Let's talk about the book. As you know, there's a lot of pushback, even to the title, The End of Men. Skeptics point to the 77 cents women make for every man's dollar, that women occupy under 17% of the seats in Congress, that only 3.8% of Fortune 500 companies have female chief executive officers. And they say it looks like a long way from the end of men as the dominant gender to them. What's your response to that?
My response is to look at the larger part of the country, so we can look at the tiny slice at the very top, or we can look at how women are adapting so much better than this in this economy than men are, and are taking advantage of educational opportunities, getting the degrees they need. And so you see women rising in all segments of the country, and also look at how much that's changed the patterns of marriage and the decisions we make about how to raise our children. I mean, you really see a country turned upside down when you go out there. So yes, I agree, there is a way to go. It's only been going on for 40 years, so we wouldn't expect the very top of power to be turned upside down overnight, but you do see the trends moving in that direction.
Why did it start 40 years ago? What are the trends that they're moving in that direction?
So it begins with the diminishing of the manufacturing economy, which we're all pretty familiar with, and so the jobs that are largely male-dominated fell out of favor, largely because we shipped a lot of these industries overseas, and then what happens is, opportunities begin to open for women and they start to go to professional school, law school, medical school in greater numbers than men. The jobs that do open up are the kinds of jobs that women used to do at home for free. So childcare, elder care, you know, medical field jobs, food preparation. And so you have this kind of cascading where the service and information economy favors women's strengths at least as much as it favors men's.
Walter in Ferndale wrote to us, it seems to me that power needs to be taken from upper class men. According to him, it is said that no one gives up power willingly. Is that dynamic taking place when you see men falling and women rising?
Yes, you do see that. I mean, the picture, I address the very top in one of my chapters specifically, because you look at those numbers and, you know, they are exactly what you said they are. And what you see is that during this transition period, when things are changing so rapidly, we're still uncomfortable with female power and dominance, and we're working that out. But there is a price that women pay for being very dominant. And so in that sense, that's where you see the discomfort with some of the changes I'm describing.
Now, you also point out the decline of sexual assault. What would you call one of the great crime stories of the last 20 years?
Yes. I mean, with economic empowerment comes other forms of empowerment. Women are less dependent on men. I mean, some of that is good and some of that is bad. The bad part is that people without a college degree are much less likely to get married these days, and to be women, particularly to be raising children alone. So we have a lot more single mothers in this country, which is not a positive story. It's very difficult to, you know, work, go to school, raise your child alone. They're working overtime, these women. On the other hand, you are less likely to be dependent on someone and be in an abusive relationship. So that's the positive side of less economic dependence.
Do you see the rise that you're documenting in this book over the past 40 years as being irreversible?
I don't see it as being irreversible, because I see these things as accidents of history. So there were a time when I describe women as being adaptable. If you look after World War II, when the GI Bill was passed, men were extremely adaptable. They were coming back from war. They were feeling marginalized, like they'd been pushed out, and they, you know, came in a rush to go to schools and take over farms and work in offices. And so, no, I think being marginalized is one of the things that fuels you and helps you move forward. I think that's one of the things that's pushing women these days. They still feel like they have have to work twice as hard to earn as much as a man, and, you know, that's what's making them adaptable. So I think, you know, the more recessions we have in which men are knocked back, the more they are likely to find creative ways to get back on their feet.
So what do you think about this? Do you think we are seeing the end of men and the rise of women? Hannah Rosen, what about other countries? Women in those countries are often denied basic rights to education. They're denied basic rights to even own land. They are viciously oppressed and brutalized. Are we talking just about something in North America?
No, this phenomenon happens around the world. It's just through different cultural filters. So one of my chapters is about Korea, which is absolutely a patriarchal society and continues to be so. But the rise of women has happened so quickly there that it's really throwing the society off its feet and changing a lot of basic cultural expectations and making men and women kind of, you know, foreigners to each other. And then you've got other countries in which, as you say, women are oppressed. But the difference is now that when you look at aid organizations and international measures, people are starting to realize that improving the status of women is the key to bringing a nation forward. So you see a lot of aid organizations targeting women specifically in order to move a country forward. The treatment of women has become the standard by which you measure a country's progress and success.
You mentioned this is a 40-year trend, but there's been a lot of attention to the man session with the Great Recession we've been seeing. Does the advantage that women have been getting retreat a bit if we come out of the Great Recession? Will men return, will men gain more from that than women have gained?
Probably not, because the key here is adaptability until men show their adaptability. So it's not so much which jobs are up, which jobs are down, because that's going to change all the time, largely because technology is making, you know, makes jobs obsolete in a second, and we can't really predict it that well. But what's important is to sort of be nimble and on your feet. And the way economists measure that is your willingness to get retraining, go to community college, go to other kinds of college. And so I think that's the quality that men are not yet showing.
Hannah Rosen, if you're right, and we're seeing the end of men and the rise of women, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Is this just a thing?
I think it's just a thing. I mean, I think some parts of it are great. It's obviously great that women have more opportunities. It's great if men can have a little bit less of a restricted notion of what it means to be a man and what kind of jobs are suitable for men. If my own son grows up in a world in which his wife can make more money than him and he can work 4 days a week and that's acceptable, that would be great. But it's not good if you're, you know, a single mother struggling to raise a child on your own. Obviously, that's not a great change. So some of this is good and some of this isn't.
You know, we've talked about boys in school and the sense that oftentimes girls have been getting a lot of help in certain ways and boys have kind of shuffled to the side, and that more attention needs to be paid to what they need to be learning in class. And that maybe is part of the result. Part of the result of that is that women are moving ahead academically. Do you think we're actually not paying attention to the boys in the way we should be?
Yes. I mean, I do think boys get a sense that school is contrary to their natural abilities, or that they are, you know, that it's not for them. So you hear that a lot from young boys, and I have two sons myself, and you see that it goes against the grain of the way they naturally want to be. So sometimes boys get a sense that they're failures pretty early on in school. That's because school demands a lot more, requires a lot more organizational abilities. It's not that boys and boys are less smart than girls. That's certainly not true. Boys and girls measure just about equal in terms of math and verbal ability. But actually not verbal abilities. The other problem is that school demands a lot more verbal acuity from children than it used to at earlier ages, and girls are develop at a different rate than boys. So early on, they feel like a greater success at school.
Hannah Rosen's telling us about the end of women and the end of men and the rise of women. It's the title of her new book. This is based on a magazine article. Is that right?
Yes, in 2010, I wrote a cover story for The Atlantic. That's where the title comes from, actually. It was not a title that was thought up by me. It was thought up by my editor at The Atlantic. But then over time, it's become a catchphrase that stuck to the argument that I've been making.
We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. If you've got a question, something you'd like to hear her expand upon, or maybe you're not seeing it the way that she's explaining it, it's 800-289-5869, or you can write to us. Our email address is conversation@kuow.org. What do you not know about this transition? What still kind of mystifies you as you continue to look at this, Hannah Rosen?
A couple of things mystify me. One is I don't really understand why it's harder for men to sort of break out of their roles than women. I would need some men to explain that to me. Maybe it's because women need them to be a certain way. I'm not really sure what the answer to that is. So you see over the course of the century, women doing things in the public sphere that's so different than what they've done before. So, you know, they used to not be able to work when they got married, and then they didn't work when they had children. And you see women breaking through these barriers one after another, or taking over professions that used to be exclusively male or male-dominated. And yet you don't see men moving in the other direction. As soon as a profession gets the taint of being feminine or feeling feminized, men run away from it. And so I'm not sure why that's much harder for men than it is for women to move along that continuum.
Now, you say in your acknowledgments that you thank all the good men who've helped me to trumpet their demise in yes. the conclusion of your book. So you must have asked them, why can't you break out of your roles? You must have heard some answers to that.
I did hear some answers. I think it's because being on top is, you know, people have been used to working a certain way. If you look at the town in Alabama that I reported on, in which there was an industry that dominated that town for a long time, you see that it's asking a lot of the men to start again. I mean, they thought that life was going to be a certain way. You know, that way of life for them defined what it means to be a man and what it means to be a father. And so to ask them to start over again is not an easy thing to do, and even to ask their sons to live a different way is not an easy thing to do. Whereas I think for women, it's been new and exciting. I mean, we've had many years of telling women you can do anything, you know, even though you're you have to work twice as hard as a man, you can push through and get to the top. So there's been a sense in which women are rising up and coming from the bottom up. And of course, that's a much easier thing to do than go, you know, fall from the top and have to remake yourself. So it might just be as simple as that.
You know, this reminds me of this conversation with Brené Brown, a social worker who's been studying and writing about the subject of vulnerability, which she says you really need to expose yourself to in order to be stronger. And part of my conversation with her circled around the fact that that might be a lot more difficult for men to do because it's less acceptable for them to be that way. And in fact, she said a lot of women do not cut men much slack if they are vulnerable because it is seen as weakness. Do you buy that? Do you think that might be part of the dynamic that's going on?
I absolutely think it's part of the dynamic. If you look over history, you wonder why there are women's movements, but there's no men's movement exactly. You know, there's no universal men's movement to ask for whatever it is men might need, greater acceptance of certain social roles or paternity leave or whatever, you know, or even, you know, even sort of some protectionism to defend them. I don't think men like to be seen as needing or needy or wanting things. You know, men, it's much more natural for us to think of men as protectors. And when I am reporting around the country, it's not like I'm finding, you know, women marching happily ahead. A lot of women are nostalgic for the old ways, and men are nostalgic for the old ways. Some of the women who I interview who have become breadwinners don't necessarily want to be in that position. Even some progressive women living in big cities, they would feel more comfortable in a time where men were the protectors and the breadwinners, and life was set up that way. It's just that things are changing underneath us, and you know, men don't necessarily have an easy time kind of admitting that or coming to terms with that.
But there are men's movements. I mean, there are men getting together and talking much like women were talking in the 60s and 70s about their roles in societies. They're parodied as going out in the woods and banging on drums, but there is actually a lot of work going on. And then there are people in what they would call the men's movement that's basically saying they're getting a raw deal when it comes to custody issues and things like that. They're organizing, saying that the society is kind of slanted against them.
Right. I guess that's true. The men's rights movement is something different. They do deal with that issue of divorce and custody. That is a single issue. There's also, you know, there's been lots of gay rights movements which are driven by men. So in certain slices of society, there have been men's rights movement, but there isn't the equivalent of a large-scale women's movement to advocate for boys in school or, you know, I write about how colleges have affirmative action these days. In lots of other countries, there's a frank and open discussion about that, but I think in the U.S. there isn't, because there is something very uncomfortable about thinking of men as needing something from us, of needing a hand or a leg up. That's just a concept that we don't really accept that easily.
Well, a number of provocative issues here raised by Hannah Rosen. Are we seeing the end of men? Why can't men break out of their roles? Why isn't there an equivalent men's movement, as we have seen from the women's movement? James is on the line, and he's giving us a call today from North Seattle. James, what do you want to say about this?
Oh, I just would like her to comment on when I went to grade school, admittedly it was the nuns who were teaching me, but it just seemed to me that the female teachers thought that boys were like semi-criminals. You know, they were always looking for us to do something bad. And, you know, the girls were sort of overlooked. And, you know, I can imagine, you know, that we talk about minorities being over-disciplined and stuff, especially young boys. And I just wonder how much what she would say about that.
Hannah, do you have a comment?
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. I think a lot of boys still have the sense that the system is rigged against them, you know, that there's some way that they're supposed to be, that the teachers are expecting them to be, that they can't really be, or that they don't feel comfortable or natural being. I mean, I hear this from my son and daughter's friends all the time, where the boys have this conspiratorial sense that, you know, there's one way of acting. The girls kind of understand that, and the boys don't, you know, so they get in trouble a lot more. So I think lots of boys and girls, whenever the caller was in school, James, a lot of boys and girls still feel that way today.
Thanks for your call, James. And Nick kind of seconds this. He has not read the book, he hastens to say, but based on what he's read, he says, one thing I've heard you say is that women succeed much more in education now, which is undoubtedly true. My mother, who is a retired school principal, says that she thinks that women succeed in education because the teaching profession is predominantly female, and the content and measures of academic success are all set to favor girls and women, and typical boy behavior, creative and intellectual strengths are typically not rewarded in school, yet are more valued in the world beyond the education system. Hannah, do you think that's true?
Yeah, I mean, we have to then ask ourselves the foundational question of why is the teaching profession mostly female? It used to be mostly male. But that gets us back to our original question, which is that as soon as women started entering the teaching profession, men fled. They left the teaching profession because they started to see it as predominantly female. And we've seen that in profession after profession. I mean, one of the things I wish would happen, as I've said, is that more men would be teachers. It would be a great help, both to the men themselves and to the boys, who could use a lot more male teachers. So, I mean, if we had some great incentives put in place for men to become teachers, that would solve a lot of problems.
Hannah Rosen, thanks so much for spending your time with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Hannah Rosen, the book's called The End of Men and the Rise of Women. It says that we are in an era where we're heading toward the end of men as the dominant sex, as they have been, as we have been since the beginning of humankind. A provocative read, raising some provocative questions. I'm Ross Reynolds. This is KUOW 94.9 Seattle.